We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the Radio Network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Oh, yes!
We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We got string beans and onions and big juicy lemons and all kinds of fruit and say. We've got an old-fashioned tomato, a Long Island potato.
Oh, yes!
We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. There's a fruit man on our street whose name is Mr. Pete. And he keeps good things to eat, but you should hear him speak. When you ask him anything, he never answers no. He just yeses you to death, and then he takes your dough.
Oh, yes!
We no gotta the banana. We no gotta the banana today. We got a little beans and a bigger beans and a red, the beans and a white, the beans and all kinds of beans and say. We got the old-fashioned salami. We even got the Brooklyn pastrami.
Oh, yes!
We no got the banana. We no got the banana today. Got so good with him, he wrote home to say, send Pasquale, Nick, and Jim, I need help right away. When he got them in the store, there was fun, you bet. Someone asked for bananas, and then the whole quartet.
Oh, yes, we have no bananas.
We have no bananas today.
We have
peppers. And the carrots.
And celery.
And olives.
But we got no bananas today.
Who asked you for bananas anyway? Who asked you? I only want a hot dog sandwich. Hot dogs are better than bananas. I always say, ain't it?
Oh, yes.
We have no bananas.
We have no bananas today.
Ah!
This past week, Donald Trump posted on his site, Truth Social, quote, "The crooked Joe Biden campaign has thrown so many indictments and lawsuits against me that Republicans are already talking about what we're going to do to Biden and the communists when it's our turn. They've started a whole new banana republic way of thinking about political campaigns. So cheap and dirty. But that's where America is right now. Be careful what you wish for." It's nothing new for Trump to threaten retaliation and cry unfairness, though we shouldn't become immune to his threats of revenge. But his accusation that the United States is becoming a banana republic is noteworthy. The term banana republic was first coined by the author O. Henry 120 years ago in his book Cabbages and Kings, which focused on a fictional country that he called the Republic of Anchuria. It was loosely based on his experience living in Honduras during a time when that country's economy was almost completely dependent on the export of bananas to the United States. Over time, the term banana republic expanded beyond its more literal application of a republic controlled by the banana industry. The term banana republic now describes an unstable, corrupt government susceptible to corporate or foreign influence, often involving misuse of military and executive power. In claiming that the indictments against him inherently make the United States a, quote, banana republic, Trump is incorrectly, by the way, saying that any kind of accountability that reaches the highest office of the land is intrinsically corrupt. But really, it's quite the opposite. The indictments that Trump faces, all voted on by a jury of his peers, demonstrates that in America, no one actually is above the law. Accountability at the highest levels of government is a positive thing. It's a sign of a healthy republic. And many of our most respected allies across the globe have held their top leaders accountable in recent history. My colleague Steve Bannon, who was just on with me, compiled a list last month. Italy prosecuted a former prime minister. France prosecuted a former president and a former prime minister. South Africa prosecuted a former president. South Korea prosecuted a former president. Brazil has prosecuted more than one former president. Israel has prosecuted more than one former prime minister and is right now attempting to prosecute the current prime minister. Germany prosecuted a former president. Portugal prosecuted a former prime minister. Croatia prosecuted a former prime minister. Argentina prosecuted a former president. As recently as June, Nicola Sturgeon, the former head of the Scottish government, was arrested on allegations of financial misconduct. And a study conducted last year by LaGrange University in Georgia reviewed nearly 250 cases over the last 50 years of countries that held their leaders to account for alleged misconduct, including indictments, arrests, and imprisonment. And that study found that based on measurements determined by Freedom House, an organization that measures freedom in democracies, the vast majority of those nations became more free. But if you want to dig into it, I can tell you what does have the flavor of a, quote, banana republic. Misusing the military to escort him for a photo op at St. John's Church in D.C. while peaceful protesters marched in response to the murder of George Floyd, or claiming, quote, total authority over federal law enforcement and then using it to target political enemies, or pressuring a foreign ally, Ukraine, to investigate domestic political rivals, or undermining the very institutions of our democracy, eroding the public's faith in our elections, repeatedly lying to the public about election fraud, or even implicitly influencing followers to threaten election workers, to manipulate and disenfranchise voters who disagree with him. And now, vowing revenge on his political enemies if he is returned to office because, in his words, quote, they are doing it to us. That is Donald Trump's banana republic.
So do many more. Over hill and highway the banana buggies go, coming up to bring you the banana split show. Making up a mess of fun, making up a mess of fun, lots of fun for everyone. Cha la 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 la, cha la 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 la.
like a pancake, popping like a cork. Flingo, bingo, Cooper and Storm.
That means that if I win and somebody wants to run against me, I call my attorney general and I say, listen, indict him. Well, he hasn't done anything wrong that we know of. I don't know. Indict him on income tax evasion. You'll figure it out.
And now you're seeing certain segments of the population, like the African-American segment of the population, who are coming out and saying they've done the same crap that they're doing to Donald Trump. They've done it to us. For years, they've indicted us for nonsense. They've thrown the legal system at us. They haven't given us a chance in hell. It's been a rigged system. They've literally made my father a martyr with certain segments of the population that they otherwise, claim to own. And
why I love seeing it, because there's so many prophetic words talking about this exact very thing. What God's been saying was going to happen is now unfolding, and that's why I. That's why we are all sitting there and we're just standing here and we're just like, no matter what these people are doing, they are the ones who will be exposed. No matter what they're going to do and no matter what they're going to try to do to your dad, it will not go the way they want it. It will not go the way they want it, because God's on his side and he's called him his David. He said his anointed is appointed one. He said it more than once. He continually said it. I've had so many different prophetic words regarding your father and the Lord. I've cried because I knew the love that God has for him, the love that God has for your family, and I could just feel it. And it's like he's not going to forsake you, and he's not going to let this continue.
I'll tell you another plan that's not going to work. And I love Tucker Carlson. Y'all know I love Tucker. And I don't mean to disagree with Tucker. No one is going to assassinate Donald John Trump. To do it, they have to go through his bodyguards. And I'm not talking about the Secret Service. I'm talking about the super secret service. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, every one of the angels that have been assigned to protect God's man.
Donald Trump is taking a hard stand against crime. The former president took out a full-page newspaper ad today calling for the death penalty for himself. Trump, who is accused of 34 felony counts, called himself a crazed maniac and a dog who needs to be put down. The ad, which cost Trump over $1 million, then called New York soft on crime and declared that death was the only way to ensure he could not rape, maim, or kill once again. Shortly after the ad was published, Trump announced that he, quote, needed to set an example to the others, as he was seen raising a loaded gun to his head.
There's some breaking news just in. Federal judge has just delivered another blow to Donald Trump ahead of his second legal battle and court fight with E. Jean Carroll.
So this is a blow to former President Donald Trump. As you may remember, he was found liable of sexually abusing and defaming E. Jean Carroll earlier this year for statements that he had made in October of 2020. There is the separate lawsuit and separate litigation relating to statements that Trump made about the same conduct and the same statements essentially in 2019. That case is set to go to trial in January. What the judge has found now is that the jury's verdict holds on finding that these statements, both in 2019 and in 2020, were defamatory. So that is something that this new jury will not have to find. So in other words, the judge saying that the jury in this case coming up in January will only have to make the decision of how much money Donald Trump will have to pay E. Jean Carroll in damages for the statements that were defamatory. And so they're going into this trial with that conclusion already made, that the statements Trump made when he was president denying allegations that he had sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll in the mid-1990s and his denials that he even knew her and that she wasn't his type, that will all be found in E. Jean Carroll's favor as this jury trial would begin in January. So the question on the table is how much he will have to pay her in damages. And the jury earlier this year already found that Trump has to pay her $5 million for the previous defamatory statements. Trump's lawyers had asked this judge to put a cap on any future damages, the judge saying here that he will not do that. So it's just a matter now of how much more the former president may have to pay E. Jean Carroll when this goes to trial in January.
We're learning new information in the federal case over former President Donald Trump's handling of classified documents. A Mar-a-Lago IT worker has struck a cooperation agreement with the special counsel's office, and he agreed to testify. In exchange, he will not be prosecuted.
A federal judge has rejected Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows' bid to move his Georgia criminal case to federal court. The district judge found the election subversion allegations against Meadows were largely related to political activities and not to Meadows' role as White House chief of staff. Meadows has appealed the ruling. The order came on Friday, the same day the full special grand jury report was released. The report provides new insight into the 2020 election subversion investigation in Georgia. And it shows the panel wanted to indict 39 people in the sprawling racketeering case.
An academic conversation has been building as to whether Donald Trump is barred from running under a constitutional clause that prohibits those who engaged in an insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution from holding higher office. Two law professors spent a year looking at the issue and are opining in a forthcoming 126-page law review article at the University of Pennsylvania that the preclusion does apply. There is, however, a difference of opinion among academics. Among the impediments to the applicability is the question of whether it would apply to a former president and the lack of any judicial finding that Trump has engaged in insurrection. In fact, among the 91 counts that Trump faces, none are for insurrection or sedition. He was impeached a second time by the House of Representatives for incitement of insurrection, but he was later acquitted by the Senate. There are also constitutional issues about denying a candidate ballot access and about denying voters their say. Ultimately, such a case might reach the Supreme Court.
Heading to Fulton prison just to hand it down. He says he didn't do it, that he did nothing wrong. Oh yeah, they're just out to get me. It's the same old song. When he was just a young boy, out to climb a hill, propped up by daddy's money, and he never paid his bills. Now they have his mugshot, they say he must do time. And everybody calls him P.O. 11-3589. Better to play golf today than face up to your crimes. Boxes in the shower, more boxes on the stage. Oh, now he has a mugshot, a picture of a rage. She came for him, only one thing left to do. So if he gets elected, he'll pardon himself this time. We'll call him President 11-3589.
This week, we expect an answer from Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee on whether ex-President Donald Trump and his 18 co-defendants will go to trial for their efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election in Georgia as soon as October. And while Judge McAfee seems skeptical of District Attorney Funny Willis's estimated four-month timeline for a trial, even an expedited trial would present a mammoth security burden for the courthouse.
How do you secure the courthouse for such a complex trial for that amount of time?
Well, we've had enough practice, right? So we have different gang trials that have gone on with RICO cases involving 28 defendants. We cannot lose sight that safety and security is first, and ultimately we make sure we practice, and when we finish practice and we train, and when we finish training, we practice some more.
Gang trials, ex-president of the United States of America.
All right. I've been called everything from a monkey to an Uncle Tom, right? Depends on what side of the aisle you sit on and who you support. Not just me, right? So we got Madam DA who continuously gets threats. Even the special grand jury, right? Once those names were published, then we have to split our resources and make sure we have enough resources to keep our everyday people that want to simply come serve our community and sit on a grand jury or be assigned to a trial safe.
Now, Nicole, some of the more interesting parts of our interview was when he talked about those moments that the former president was inside his jail. Now, Sheriff Labatt was inside the entire time, watched the entire process go down. That kind of two-shot that you saw of the two of us was the actual intake area where the former president was taken inside, where his mugshot was taken. We were the first news organization to have access to that area where the former president was booked in, which you're seeing right now on your screen. So seeing that, he kind of is pointing right there to the place where his fingerprints were taken in front of me a few feet, where you see us standing, is the place where his mugshot was taken. And he said that he was inside the building for only about 8 minutes. That was stunning to me because I was standing outside the gate when his motorcade came through. It was about 21 minutes from the time the motorcade went in to the time that it left. He was only inside that building for about 8 minutes. He says that he even signed the consent bond forms actually in his car. So when you talk about those things, certainly very interesting. He talked about the fact that they exchanged a number of pleasantries. The former president shook his hand, said, you know, I recognize you from TV, said that to the sheriff, and the sheriff responded, likewise, I recognize you from TV. But he was very formal, very courteous throughout the entire process, Nicole.
Blaine, you got to the bottom of where the height and weight numbers came from. He was not measured or weighed.
A friend named Scrambling Don. He tried to pull off an electoral con. He thought he was the smartest guy around. He was a megalomaniac and got indicted by a guy named Jack. They've got him under federal lockdown. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, I told him, have some sense. You can't send them out to hang Mike Pence. He's in the jailhouse now. Oh, MAGA, ole, oh, he. Oh, MAGA, ole, ole. MAGA, ole. Don made a call to Georgia to find an election forger, but Raffensperger wouldn't even sway. He said in his southern drawl, we're recording your perfect call, and Fonny says it will put you away. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, they told him many times he'll be on the hook for those RICO crimes. He's in the jailhouse now. Oh, MAGA, ole, oh, he. Oh, MAGA Odelay, Odelay. MAGA Lay, MAGA Lay, MAGA Lay.
Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A.
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, Louis Prima, The Banana Splits, Gwen Stefani, Chris, and Patrick Fitzgerald. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Ollie Velshi, Donald Drumpf, Eric Drumpf, Kate Bolden, Phil Mattingly, Frederica Whitfield, Michael Smarkanish, Nicole Wallace, and Patrick Labatt.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.